It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
See Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we talk to Anthony DeBundo of The Ringer. The Flo Balogun effect on tonight's matchup against Belgium. And does it open up space for others against that Belgian back line? Maybe we get a Christian Pulisic breakthrough tonight. Maybe Balogun himself scores and the soccer world implodes in on itself, the international soccer world. We will find out. We'll get into it with Anthony. Plus, Brazil being eliminated by this summer's soccer Cinderellas, Norway, England holding on, white-knuckling it against Mexico to advance. We've got Portugal, Spain this afternoon, the winner of whom will get the winner of U.S. and Belgium. Just how many people do we think are going to watch this thing tonight? I want to go around the room on that question a little bit later. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos here on Westwood One Sports with you until noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. But the conversations that happen during the breaks are sometimes even more entertaining than the conversations that happen while we're on the air. And yes, I will power rank the top five quarterback rooms in the NFL in just a moment. We can go back and forth and argue about, just how much you want to weigh the depth of the position for each team, because I'm sure that will be a point that gets brought up. But going on in the conversation during the break, we have Kenny Henderson arguing for the fact that Babe Ruth is not a top 10 all-time baseball player. We have Tyler Morales claiming that Babe Ruth may not even be real. And just a lot of conversations happening that are the kind of things you cook up with your buddies when you're buzzed or when you're stoned. And then you wake up the next morning and you go, you know what? I'm going to push ahead with that argument anyway, even if it's just nonsensical. I'm just going to go with it. Tyler trying to convince us that Babe Ruth was Dominican and not a white guy, maybe at the top of the list. Even if he did exist, which Tyler is not willing to concede the fact that Babe Ruth really existed. This is a sports fan's moon landing. I don't know. You see those shadows? You see the way that flag's waving? That's not real. So that's what happens in the middle of summer here at Westwood One Sports. Come on, we got Monday Night Football tonight, people. U.S. and Belgium. Balogun is back. Although the Belgians are still trying to appeal that. Just saw that headline from another member of our crew, Dan Turner. Belgium, according to Yahoo Sports, has been granted the right to appeal against FIFA's decision to suspend the one-game ban handed to Faller and Balogun less than 24 hours before the team's round of 16 match versus the United States. This per The Athletic, the Belgian Federation saying it was astonished by FIFA's decision to suspend the ban for a period of 1 year. And the Royal Belgian Football Association responded that the move was in, quote, direct contradiction of the competition regulations, and said it is exploring all potential options. We'll get back into that with Anthony DeBundo of The Ringer. Is there a chance that there's like some sort of last second injunction that, you know, 30 seconds before the match, they're dragging Flo Balogun off the field and saying he's once again ineligible. We'll see. We'll talk to Anthony about it, like I said, in about 20 minutes. But while I've been filling in for Nick over the last week and a half or so, we started just organically ranking the top tight end rooms one day. I think it was in light of the Kyle Pitts contract extension. And then we moved on to wide receivers. And then we said, hell, why not secondaries? And then we did front sevens and we did offensive lines. And we've done, did I mention wide receivers? We did running backs the other day. So today, I thought we would power rank the top quarterback rooms around the NFL going into the 2026 season. And again, opening it up for arguments from my friends on the show here. Or you. 310-840-4910. 310-840-4910. I will start at number five. Because I think the starter in this quarterback room has pushed well beyond the idea that he's just a product of the system. And I think his backup has shown that he may be the best backup in the league. So San Francisco is number five for me, the 49ers. Brock Purdy, I think, has proven that he's more than just Mr. Irrelevant who's been turned into a capable quarterback by Kyle Shanahan. He's shown that he's capable enough on his own. Could we have arguments about what he'd look like in a different system? Sure. But you could have that argument about just about any quarterback. And Mac Jones last year stepping in Purdy's place kept the 49ers afloat. So a very strong number five as we start the power rankings for our top five quarterback rooms around the NFL. Number four, I worry about the backup situation because it's not great, but at the very least, the guy who is their number two, at least I think he'll be their number two going into the season, has, what would we call it, familiarity with the program. That's probably the best way to put it. Because he's been around now for 3 years in that quarterback room. And it's a very good offensive coaching staff. And a future Hall of Famer as the starter doesn't hurt. The Rams at number four. Matt Stafford's got all the weapons. We haven't yet seen him fall off the cliff. It may happen soon. Who knows? But as long as Stafford is still looking like an MVP caliber quarterback, Stetson Bennett IV is not inspiring any great levels of confidence. But at the very least, like I said, you know, he is familiar with the system. And it's Sean McVay. It's Nate Shielhaas. It's that same squad who would insulate, I think, Bennett with all those weapons if Stafford had to be out for a couple of weeks. So I have the Rams at number four. Number three, again, not an inspiring backup quarterback situation at number three. It's more like, well, just good enough because this is a journeyman backup who's been with plenty of teams. I'm sure knows exactly how to handle himself as a veteran backup. And the starter is, again, MVP caliber, at least during the regular season. Buffalo Bills at number three. Regular season, Josh Allen, the best in the league, more often than not. Kyle Allen, I mean, look, if the Bills have to go a couple weeks without Josh Allen, we all know they're going to have more than a handful of issues. But we also know they can lean on the run game. We know that the offense is, the system itself is built around consistency with Brady remaining there. So Kyle Allen steps in, journeyman backup quarterback, but journeyman backup quarterbacks usually pick things up really quickly. And again, it's not inspiring, but it's okay. So not a very deep quarterback room. But when you got Josh Allen, I can't rank him any lower than number three as we rank the top five quarterback rooms in the NFL. Number two, this is where I really do start to consider the strength of a backup, especially a complimentary backup. And what I mean by that is a backup who knows how to play the game the same way the starter plays the game and has proven capable of it. Not fantastic at it because, well, he's a backup, but a whole hell of a lot better than other backups they've had in this offense. And that's Baltimore, the Ravens at number two. Lamar Jackson, the starter, like I said, always capable of MVP level play in the regular season. And Snoop Huntley, a more than reliable backup. I've seen Snoop Huntley step into games and the offense continues to function just as it should. Not at the same level as with Lamar in at quarterback, but certainly better than, say, when Cooper Rush was the backup. So I have the Ravens at number two. And I'm going to stay in the division for number one. No, not the Steelers. Come on, I'm not that big a homer, guys. Come on. Cincinnati. Joe Burrow is primed for an elite year. And Joe Flacco has shown his ability to step in. He did it again last year. The man seemingly just will not go away and is more than just meh as a backup quarterback. He has moments of, huh, does Flacco still have it? So one of the better backup quarterbacks in the league, veteran, experience, familiarity with the system. And again, I think Burrow is primed for a big bounce back year with the Bengals in Cincinnati. So the Bengals, number one, my top five quarterback rooms going into the 2026 NFL season, Bengals one, Ravens two, Bills three, Rams four, Niners five. Some honorable mentions that I think may be worth mentioning. Philadelphia is worth mentioning. Tanner McKee, you want to talk familiarity with the system, a guy who's shown some things in flashes when he's had an opportunity to play. And then you got Andy Dalton as the absolute break glass in case of emergency. All behind Jalen Hurts, who, if he actually listens to the offensive coaching staff, could have a turnaround season. So Eagles are in there. You know, I was very conflicted about how to handle the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'll tell you why. Because I've bagged on the Chiefs all offseason for the lack of moves they made in the receiver room, for what I think is being downplayed as Patrick Mahomes' recovery from the knee injury. I think we're going to see a much less mobile Patrick Mahomes until he's fully all the way back from that injury. That could take a while. I always reference Aiden Hutchinson coming back off the broken leg. He was back on the field for a while before he actually started to look like himself again. I think Patrick Mahomes could be back on the field week one, but still isn't really looking like himself for a while. And if that's the case, it really does completely change the complexion of the Chiefs' offense. Is there a world where if Mahomes isn't ready, isn't fully 100% by week one, Andy Reid says, you know what? I'm comfortable with Justin Fields for a week or two. Because here's the one thing that Fields at least occasionally shows you. And that is the ability to move. Mahomes, when he's at his best, has the ability to make things happen on the move. His improvisational ability, some of the best in the league, if not the best in the league. And Fields, certainly not on the same skill level as Mahomes, but at the very least can move. Now, does that sometimes lead him to making very dumb mistakes and poor decisions with the football? Yes. But does Andy Reid think he can coach that out of him, even at this point in his career? So I had a hard time deciding where to put the Chiefs. They're just an honorable mention, I guess, for this list. Who else am I forgetting? Bill, Kenny, anybody want to jump in and tell me where I got this list wrong or where maybe I've left someone off the list that we haven't mentioned yet to this point?
I can jump in here, Chris. I think your list is pretty good overall. I was concerned you might put the Chiefs one and leave the Bengals off the list altogether. That would have been a major problem. But overall, I think the list is pretty good, except, you know, I get it. You have to rank heavily based on the starting quarterback, but the Rams, how can you put the Rams in the top five? And I love Matthew Stafford. He's a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
No one else on the team has thrown a pass in the NFL ever. If you're ranking quarterback rooms, you need something back there.
Who are we putting ahead of the? I mean, I guess we could slide the Niners up into the fourth spot, okay, and drop the Rams down to fifth. But who for? Would it be the Chiefs? Would it be the Eagles?
Eagles. Justin.
I know.
Fields.
It involves Go Justin Fields PTSD with that. I know.
Not interested. The two I would consider, and one's definitely Homer, I consider the Chicago Bears for the reason that Caleb Williams isn't at that level yet of those elite quarterbacks. He's in, I think, that next tier. I think Bajent's a good quarterback, and I actually think Case Keenum, if you're ranking quarterback rooms, basically having an extra quarterback coach as your third quarterback, I think is a huge boost there. But the other one I would consider, and maybe I'm a bias because I love this guy, Green Bay Packers. I love Tyrod Taylor as a backup quarterback. I think, you know, he wasn't great last year with the Jets. Okay. This guy usually just comes in and functions and keeps offenses moving. So I think the Packers deserve some consideration as well.
Okay, we'll throw an honorable mention in the Packers' direction and maybe even the Bears' direction. I think, for me, the gulf between Stafford and the starters in those spots is big enough that I'm willing to look past the lack of depth at the rest of the position and say the Rams are still a top five quarterback room. Because here's the thing that I believe, and I know Stetson Bennett the fourth, like I said, is not inspiring any great confidence in anybody. But at the very least, maybe I should have saved this for mention of when I want to rank the coaching staffs. I believe Sean McVay would find a way. If he had to go 3 weeks, let's say, without Matt Stafford and with Stetson Bennett in there, I think Sean McVay would still find a way, depending on who he's playing in those 3 weeks, to win at least one of those games and to at least keep their heads above water without Matt Stafford.
Well, I agree with that because I'm a huge believer in Sean McVay. I just still think that, you know, you go other directions at quarterback when you're ranking quarterback rooms other than the Rams. And like I said, I'm a big Stafford guy. It's no knocking him. You know, if they still had Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, if he hadn't retired, that might be the number one QB room for me.
Yeah, that would solidify them in at least the top three, I think. Kenny, did I get them exactly right? Bengals, Ravens, Bills, Rams, Niners, should they be reconfigured somehow? What did I miss? Kenny's not there. He's busy arguing about Babe Ruth and his mic's not working. Damn it, Kenny. All right. Well, I did notice that he mentioned he'd have the Niners in the top three in the group chat. But I think Cincy number one, just because of what Flacco showed last year, and also the Ravens top two, because I don't know if there's any quarterback, Bill, in the league who is more built to back up just that one specific starter than Snoop Huntley is for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I like Huntley as a backup. He usually comes in, you know, he's a backup quarterback. It's not amazing, but he comes in. He beat the Bears last year. He knows how to maneuver an offense. I agree with
all right.
that. And Kenny did bring up the Commanders. I think that's another one you could consider because Mariota's an excellent backup quarterback.
Mariota's one of the, would we, I guess, put him in top five backup quarterbacks, maybe top three backup quarterbacks in the league, right up there with Flacco and who else? Maybe this is a separate ranking. I just opened Pandora's box. We could rank backup quarterbacks on another day. That's how you know we're still close to training camp, but too far away when we start talking about ranking backup quarterbacks. So, but no, I honestly, that's Washington is not a terrible call with Mariota backing up Jaden Daniels, who we will talk about a little bit later. In fact, at the top of the hour, if there was one bridge left back to the league for someone who just can't stop shooting himself in the proverbial foot, he may have burned it. That's coming up at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. But coming up next, with everything going on, the summer of soccer continues. Brazil's been eliminated. We have a Cinderella in Norway. And, of course, the U.S. has Flo Balogun back tonight. We break it all down with Anthony DeBundo of The Ringer next, right here on Westwood One Sports.
Country roads, take me home.
Happy 250th birthday, America. The U.S. men's national team is moving on to the round of 16, where they'll face Belgium in one of the biggest soccer matches in American history. Can the red, white, and blue do it again tonight?
Take me home, country road.
Westwood One Sports.
Empower.
Katie got a VIP box for the postseason. She worked with Empower to help her get good at money so she can be a little bad. She planned well and was able to bring the whole family.
Who wants homemade egg salad sandwiches?
Even Beth.
Horseradish? Anyone? How about some tuna on rye?
Oh, strike three, Beth. Invest well, live a little. Start today at Empower.com.
And Doug.
Limu and I created a trick to help you remember that you can customize your car insurance and save with Liberty Mutual. You see, the shirts Limu and I wear are yellow, and yellow is the color of lemons. And lemons grow on trees, and trees provide oxygen, and oxygen helps us breathe, and breathing is how you live. And you can live more life when you save money by customizing your car insurance. I agree, Limu. It's really quite simple. Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep. 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have a health reminder from the CDC.
Pneumococcal vaccination is recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
For by Robert Levinger, insurance agent.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
The summer of soccer continues with Monday Night Football tonight in Seattle. U.S. against Belgium, and of course, the biggest story in the world, really, in the last 24 hours, sports or otherwise, FIFA deciding to overturn, suspend the ban on Phalerin Balogun, who got a red card during that victory over Bosnia and Herzegovina, and suspend that ban for the next year and allow him to play tonight against Belgium. What's the immediate impact of that? What's the trickle-down effect of that for the U.S. tonight against Belgium, who, again, just a reminder, is the 9th-ranked country in the world? So, despite the fact that I think a lot of us as average American sports fans are coming into this going, oh, They got Balogun back. Americans are going to win. We're going to the quarters. All of that. This is not necessarily a pushover, not in the least. Even if the Americans have the advantage in youth and speed and endurance, the Belgians, they've got some key reserves, some subs that can come on late and create offensive opportunities. This will have to be a full 90-plus minute effort from the Americans in order to advance to the quarterfinals against either Spain or Portugal, who play this afternoon. We've also found, I think, the Cinderella for this summer of soccer as Norway upset Brazil yesterday. Erling Haaland with a pair of goals. He's now tied with Messi and Mbappe for the Golden Boot lead. And we also got England surviving in Mexico City at Estadio Azteca, which was just looked like an electric environment. Absolutely. So a number of different things to talk about as the summer of soccer continues here on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos today here on You Better You Bet. Top of the hour, we'll get back into the conversation around someone burning his final bridge. And I think Travis Kelce may have made a giant miscalculation this offseason. I'll tell you exactly what it was coming up just after 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. But it's Monday Night Football in Seattle. Anthony DeBundo been covering the World Cup for The Ringer and doing a great job of it. Joins us now here on Westwood One Sports. Anthony, let's start with obviously the biggest story of the last 24 hours or so. Falerin Balogun, his ban for tonight, suspended by FIFA. Just the immediate impact that he will have if he is in fact, because it sounds like Belgium is still appealing this and fighting it, if he is in fact on the pitch tonight for the United States.
Yeah, I mean, he's been their best player at this tournament thus far. You know, while Christian Pulisic is battling this, you know, injury situation and he hasn't been at his best in the last couple of games, I thought we've seen Balogun be the go-to guy. And he is somebody that the U.S. has really never had in terms of a quality striker who can consistently get shots in the penalty area like he does. And it's an invaluable thing to have because at the end of the day, the biggest issue the U.S. had at past World Cups has been the striker. And it's always been an area that the U.S. has been crying out for a player of Balogun's quality. And he's proven that thus far. And especially in this matchup against a Belgium team that loves to seed space in behind, Balogun's best skill is his ability to run in transition, to run in behind defenders. So I think he's especially important in this matchup. And, I mean, it sounds like he's in, but Belgium's appealing. It's all in the courts now. The lawyers are currently litigating it as we speak, from what I've heard. So we will find out.
This reminds me of Tom Brady getting the last second stay of execution for the four-game Deflategate suspension and just barely eking it out and making it back for week one back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to have precedent with FIFA. That's the problem. I think, you know, it is obviously hilariously corrupt to have the president on the phone calling his buddy at FIFA who he's been pals with all tournament and leading up to the tournament and putting a call in to try to get the U.S.'s star striker. I understand why I think just kind of FIFA at this point. It's not going to change. They're a hilariously corrupt organization that is honestly shameless about it. And so now we get to just see what happens. And at the end of the day, I think in a weird way, it's like vigilante justice in the sense that I think the card was not the right decision, but plenty of teams that have had bad red card decisions go against them and don't get their best player to join in on the next match. So it is interesting for sure.
What do you does this set? Because look, we had the same or not this exact same, but something similar happened before the tournament where Cristiano Ronaldo's what would have been 3-match ban was suspended and he was allowed to play in those group stage matches for Portugal. I mean, are we setting a precedent here now for, let's say, you know, we get through, let's say I painted this picture earlier, Anthony, let's say the Americans get past Belgium and let's say they pull off something amazing and defeat Spain or Portugal in the next round and they're getting ready for the semis against, of all teams, France, but Mbappe gets sent off for a red card in the previous match and somebody makes a call and all of a sudden Mbappe is then eligible. Like, are we at a point where This is the argument that I will hear from people who are very upset about this decision, not just the Belgians. Are we at a point where FIFA has essentially become the international version of the NCAA in which punishments mean nothing?
Yeah, I mean, well, they ultimately get to decide, right? So, you know, this isn't the courts. Mm-hmm. This FIFA made the decision to overturn it. You know, one of the reports that's come out in the recent days is that they were afraid of the Court of Arbitration for Sport in Europe going against them, which, like, again, another toothless organization, CAS, is. So, I mean, look, the inner workings of FIFA are hard to understand because they don't have the kind of processes in place, the kind of legalese in place to properly adjudicate these decisions. And I think I've read plenty of lawyers and people who know that stuff better than I do who have commented on the fact that there's essentially a clause in the FIFA bylaws that kind of just says we get to decide whatever we want. And that seems to be the precedent or the legal justification that they're rolling with here. So, yeah, I mean, I guess if Mbappe got a red card and it was a dubious one, they would make up something about VAR protocols and say that that was why it needed to be overturned. Credit to the lawyers who are fighting this. Look, they're a very clever bunch. But I have no idea at this point. I'm just going to turn on the game tonight and watch Phil Balogun play.
Anthony DeBundo of The Ringer with us here on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos today here on You Better You Bet. Back to the on-field impact of this. I made the argument earlier. Tell me what you think of this because you obviously watch the game much more closely than I do. I made the argument that, you know, anytime there's an adjustment made to a plan last minute, and 24 hours, you know, a little more than 24 hours before a match is certainly last minute, that the Belgian back line, and you mentioned some of their weaknesses earlier, that the Belgian back line may, even if it's subconsciously, be more focused on Flo Balogun now that he is back in the lineup, and that possibility exists that it opens up extra room out there for others, up to and including Christian Pulisic, who you also mentioned, we all know, has looked good, but we're still waiting for him to score his first goal of this tournament. I think the biggest trickle-down effect here, Anthony, I'm not sure if this makes sense to you or not, or if you think it's something else, is that Pulisic might have the perfect opportunity tonight to finally get on the board.
Yeah, this is the matchup for Pulisic. And honestly, I think the best comp for this game, not to the same level, but is actually not any of the World Cup games the U.S. has played, but their final pre-match tune-up, pre-tournament tune-up against Germany, where, you know, Germany was, you know, they're a more aggressive pressing team than Belgium is, but it's closer to that kind of matchup, right? When you're playing a European team that has European regulars littered across the pitch, that kind of team is just going to have more of the ball. And, you know, what we've seen from Mauricio Pochettino in the past, and this is mostly at the club level, is that Pochettino is not going to go all out, you know, press relentlessly, like a Bielsa, what his mentor from many years ago, where it's not going to be like, we're going to turn the dial up to 100 and we're going to crank up the pressure and we're going to be all over them. However, they will engage Belgium as soon as Belgium tries to make any kind of attacking move. So I suspect that Belgium will have a good bit of the possession here, in the kind of like non-dangerous areas, the settled possession. And the whole goal of the U.S. will be to set up a press in a way that doesn't allow Belgium to progress the ball to the middle of the field. And then once they get to a certain point, there'll be what's called like pressing triggers, where when the ball gets to this moment or this person gets on the ball, then the U.S. will spring a press. And when they do that, the whole goal is win the ball quickly and attack in transition. And that is where Pulisic, throughout his career, has been at his best. And you'll see when the U.S. has the ball, he's going to be coming deeper tonight to get the ball than he has in the past matches. He didn't play against Turkey much, but I think you saw a little bit of it there in that match. So when Pulisic comes to get the ball, he's serving as the outlet. He's serving as the engine for the U.S. to move the ball from the midfield into the attacking areas, and he'll have more space to do that in this match, where I really thought, you know, Greg Berhalter made this point, and a lot of people got mad at him because he's the former coach and people don't like him. But he made the point that he didn't feel like Pulisic was particularly involved against the game plan. But it was a sense of, like, Pulisic not being able to find space, not being able to get consistent service. There will be more space in this match for him to exploit than there was in the past matches.
Anthony, who else should we look at as far as players who will have an opportunity to find greater space if the Belgians, again, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, decide to crash down and mark Balogun even more heavily?
Yeah, so the U.S. played Belgium in a friendly in March. So we do have a little bit of recent history here. And I went back and watched some of the key moments in that match. And the U.S. was playing a back four at the time. And they were being very aggressive with their fullbacks. So that's Jedi Robinson and Serginho Dest. And what ended up happening was that the U.S. got exposed on the counter and in transition numerous times in that game because Jeremy Doku, the left winger for Belgium and the best player on the pitch in this match, is incredible in space. He's one of the best dribblers in the world, and he's a problem for the U.S. He is the first guy on the team sheet you need to circle when you're considering how do you defend Belgium. And too often in that match, Serginho Dest, the right back for the U.S., was too far forward. And Jedi Robinson, the left back, was too far forward. And so it was a situation where you had the two center backs trying to cover a lot of space and cover Doku, and Doku was able to get the ball in transition and just wreck the United States. Now, the U.S. has changed tactically since then to play a back three. So there'll be another defender when Dest pushes up, when Robinson pushes up. There'll be another defender back there for the United States. That's why they switched to the back three. That defender is most likely Alex Freeman. Freeman is a very athletic two-way player, but he's going to be the primary defender tasked with guarding slash defending Jeremy Doku in one-on-one situations. I suspect that Dest will track back a good bit as well on the right side, but Freeman becomes instantly the most important U.S. defender in this match because of how good Doku is, how great he is at dribbling, and how important it is for him to keep Doku in front. Once he gets him behind, that's danger zone for the U.S.
Anthony DeBundo, the Ringer, with us here breaking down USA-Belgium tonight in Seattle. The winner goes on to the quarterfinals of World Cup 2026. You mentioned Doku there for just a moment. Who are the other weapons that the Belgians can use to try and exploit the U.S. backline, and how do they do it? Is it from the wings? Is it on the counterattack? Is it through the midfield? How do you suspect the Belgians try to play that out?
Yeah, I mean, I would describe Belgium outside of Doku as a relatively unathletic but technically gifted soccer team. And what that means is that they have, you know, three key players that I think are worth keying in on besides Jeremy Doku. And it's Leandro Trossard, who's an inside forward for Arsenal. He's not like a striker, but he's not really a winger. He kind of just shows up in certain spaces and is very good at picking out passes, at getting on the ball and creating chances for himself and for others. Trossard is a really good player for Arsenal. He's been a super sub for them. He's started key matches. He's one to key in on. Then there's Youri Tielemans. Tielemans is a traditional deep-lying midfield passer who is not particularly good at defending. And so the Belgians kind of make a bet on their passing range and sacrifice some in defense with Tielemans on the pitch. And he's another guy who plays for Aston Villa in the Premier League, you know, one of the better teams in the league. He's another person to key in on. If he's able to get time and space on the ball and not get pressed, that's danger zone for the U.S. And then the one name that I think everybody knows when it comes to Belgium is Kevin De Bruyne, who used to be one of the best all-around pure midfielders in the world, box-to-box. He is not that anymore. But again, like Tielemans, you give him time and space on the ball, he is one of the most gifted passers in the history of soccer, quite frankly. So De Bruyne's ability to pick out passes from anywhere on the pitch, create chances for others, is still as good as anybody. And he'll drop pretty deep, too. He'll end up in the Belgian back line at times to pick up the ball, to help bring the ball forward. So De Bruyne, Tielemans, and Trossard are kind of the big three. They're not particularly attic anymore trio, but the very good with the ball at their feet trio.
For the American fans that kind of want to get a primer on the next opponent, assuming the U.S. is able to defeat Belgium tonight, what should they look for in Portugal, Spain this afternoon, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific?
They should root for Portugal, for starters. I think they match up considerably better with Portugal than they do with Spain. And all of that has to do with possession structure and out of possession structure. So Spain, to this point in the tournament, has been the most dominant possession team. That is not a surprise. That is in Spain's DNA. That is in their ethos. They are a gifted team when they lose the ball at immediately pressing it and winning it back. And it would put the U.S. midfield in a bit of a anything you can do, I can do better pickle if they have to go up against this Spanish group. So that is a problem if they have to play Spain. As far as Portugal goes, Portugal has shown a lot of cracks, a lot of cracks. I mean, they were not better than DR Congo in that draw with them. They were outplayed considerably by Colombia. And then the second half, I thought Croatia was the clear better team. Portugal gets a penalty. They get a VAR decision to go their way. They win the match. But they were not good at any point in the second half against Croatia. And really, it comes down to Portugal has a Ronaldo problem. They're still starting him. He's 41 years old. And whereas, you know, Argentina is getting all of this goal-scoring production and hiding Messi out of possession, Portugal is not able to do that with Ronaldo because he's just, as the central striker, too focal to the attack and not giving them nearly enough in attack to justify the fact that he does no defensive work, and nor do their other wingers. So Portugal's press, Portugal's structure is not very good. They're very easy to play through, and you've seen that in this tournament. I mean, Croatia should have scored two or three, only ended up with one. Colombia had multiple big chances at the back post against Portugal, no pressure on the ball. Congo could have had two. I mean, the defense is bad relative to the other elite teams for Portugal. So I think it would be a huge advantage for the U.S. if Portugal were to win this match. If Spain wins it, all your eyes should be on Lamine Yamal. He's the superstar for Spain. He's 18 years old. He's going to be 19 in a couple of weeks. He's already one of the best players in the world.
Spain -112 favorites right now at BetMGM. One last thing for you, Anthony, before I let you run. I know England survived in Mexico City last night. It was a phenomenal environment, electric the entire time. But the story of the day for me, I think, was Erling Haaland getting two more, and Norway upsetting Brazil at nearly 3-1. And not just upsetting Brazil, but I think just because of the way they and their fans have carried themselves during this World Cup, if there's a soccer Cinderella this summer, if American fans are without the U.S. team to root for at some point, it definitely feels like Norway is becoming the Cinderella, the darling of this tournament.
Yeah, and you know, it's a very one, they have the global superstar, right? They have a couple other good star players, Martin Odegaard, who a lot of Americans will know who watch the Premier League because he's been so good at Arsenal the last few seasons. They have other guys, but really, I think they play such a enjoyable brand as well. It's not just, you know, we're going to park the bus and we're going to attack. They actually do take risks. They play exciting matches. I mean, they if you go back to the group stage, they played a thrilling 3-2 with Senegal, which was back and forth the whole match. Haaland scored twice. Their defense is not very good, and they really should have conceded a couple yesterday. I thought Brazil maybe let them off the hook of it in that match without scoring until stoppage time. The goalkeeper stands on his head, right? You need a few breaks to go your way to pull off upsets like that. But, you know, they're a fun brand. They have a great star. They play an easy style to watch on the eye. And their fans have been great. It's been fun to watch the row. I was at a bar last week, and there were a bunch of Norwegians doing the row in Philadelphia, and Norway didn't even play there. So it's been an enjoyable experience. I think Morocco is similar to that, and everybody kind of knows Morocco from their run 4 years ago, and I'll put them in kind of the other Cinderella category as well, because they made the quarterfinals and back-to-back World Cups, which is pretty rare and extremely unlikely given the soccer history of Morocco, but it's growing. And, you know, I think Norway is a perfect example of a golden generation when you get a handful of players that come together and a great coach. I mean, Solbakken, for my money, has been the best, if not the second best coach at this entire tournament. He is perfectly hiding their weaknesses, accentuating their strengths. So I'm enjoying Norway. I don't think they'll get past England, but I think it'll be a fun match either way. Kane and Haaland sharing a pitch. It's a great time.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be excellent. Anthony DeBundo of The Ringer, thanks so much for your insight again, Anthony, and we'll hope to catch up again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Enjoy Monday Night Football tonight, live from Seattle, the Americans taking on the Belgians. And we'll continue to break that down throughout the day here on Westwood One Sports and get you properly psyched for tonight's match. I think the next question is, just how big could tonight's match be? As in, how big are the numbers? How many millions of people are going to sit down tonight and park the bus, to use a soccer term, to watch Monday Night Football as the U.S. has a chance to go through to the quarterfinals against Belgium? Let's speculate just a bit about what those numbers could look like based on what we've seen so far. And coming up at the top of the hour, someone burning his final bridge in the NFL. That's all on the way here on Westwood One Sports.
We know you're jonesing for some football just like we are.
I'm jonesing, man.
NFL training camps begin opening in 16 days.
And yes, we're counting.
Your home for the NFL. Westwood One Sports.
As a fitness coach, my active psoriatic arthritis can slow me down. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, I'm treating my skin and joint symptoms so I can keep moving. Skyrizi, a prescription-only injection for adults, helps me move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. And for those who have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible. With Skyrizi, there's no daily dosing. It's just four doses a year after two starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement. And that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit SkyRizzy.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZY to learn more.
It's no secret, today's diesel isn't as good as it should be. Diesel lacks lubricity. That can lead to fuel system failure, costing thousands in repairs. But you can prevent those issues with Hotshot Secret products. Clean injectors, boost cetane, increase fuel economy while adding four times more lubricity than the leading competitor. Claims proven by real-world use and confirmed by third-party ASTM testing. Available nationwide at truck stops, farm and automotive stores, and online at HotshotSecret.com. Hotshot Secret. Powered by science.
Hearing loss makes it hard to stay connected over the phone. Now, a new caption telephone, CapTel, shows captions of everything a caller says. It's like closed captions for TV, but for phone calls. It's helping people nationwide reconnect to family and friends. Best of all, CapTel is available at no cost to people with hearing loss. Shipping and installation are free. Struggling with hearing loss? Call now to see if you qualify for a no-cost CapTel phone. Call 800-375-1175. That's 800.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
For by Robert Levenger, insurance agent.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
The summer of soccer continues here on Westwood One Sports. Monday night football tonight. U.S. against Belgium in Seattle. And I've come to a conclusion just over the last like hour and 45 minutes or so. I swear we are not all high this morning here on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos on You Better You Bet. But I've come to a conclusion that I'll get to in just a second. But how about this? Inside your BetMGM app right now, when the U.S. scores, you score too. Win a share of $500,000 in bonus bets for every U.S. goal. You can place a $5 or more pre-match bet on any World's Game match in which the U.S. is playing, including tonight, and apply your Goal Rush token. You'll win a share of $500,000 in bonus bets for every goal scored by the U.S. in the match. It's all inside your BetMGM app. Download it today. Please gamble responsibly. I don't think this... Okay. This is the conclusion I've come to. As much fun as some of us, not Kenny Henderson, as some of us here on the crew are having with the summer of soccer and the World Cup, it's also led some of us to slowly lose our minds. During the most recent off-air conversation, Rene Descartes, famous philosopher, was brought up. The question of us all living in a simulation was brought up. And now the conversation happening off-air, I'll just relay this to you guys via the chat that I see in front of my face while I talk to you, is a question of whether Kenny has any idea who Tom Morello is. Kenny, I don't know if your mic is actually working yet or not, but please tell me this is not a question you actually need to ask. You actually know who Tom Morello is.
Well, I'm not alone on this, Chris, so it's me and Tyler.
Tyler doesn't either. Does anything that happened before 2005 exist in your world? Anything. Tom Morello. We literally came back with Rage Against the Machine from the break. Audio Slave. One of the greatest guitarists in history. This is the conclusion I've come to. As much as we're having fun with soccer, we all need football back in order for some of us to regain our sanity. Speaking of which, when it does come back, one guy's definitely not going to have a job. He burned his final bridge. I'll tell you who next on Westwood One Sports.
This is Westwood One Sports.
In the automotive industry, time and trust mean everything. Miss an electrical problem, and it can mean big problems for your operation. That's why NAPA believes in testing the five critical components in every vehicle: the battery, starter, alternator, relay, and serpentine belt. And why we deliver the parts, tools, and expertise you need to catch problems before they become breakdowns. So test every vehicle and trust the name that keeps your bays busy and your business moving full speed ahead.
NAPA Know How!
Empower!
After wanting one for years, Kevin is finally enjoying his new hot tub.
This is the life.
He worked with Empower to help him get good at money, so now he can be a little bad.
No, not my phone.
Oh, Kevin. Kevin's phone may be in hot water, but his finances aren't. Invest well, live a little. Start today at Empower.com.
For by Robert Levenger, insurance agent.
You're listening to Westwood One Sports on WFAN FM HD2 New York, an Odyssey sports station. Always live.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.